This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to episode 43 of my podcast, AppForce One. My name is Jeroen Leenaerts, and I've been developing iOS apps for 9 years, and I'm running the Dutch CoCast for close to 8 years. If you're an iOS app developer, you should listen to my podcast because we'll keep you updated on interesting articles and events you might not have heard about. In this episode, I'm going to talk about handling links with SwiftUI's OpenURL, how to write unit tests for SwiftUI apps, unit testing UI view, action and gesture in Swift, how to show multiple alerts on the same view in SwiftUI, how to use throwing properties to catch failures in Swift. I also wanted to mention my workshop on September 2nd. There's a lot of work going into that already, and I'm really looking forward to executing in a few weeks' time. What's very interesting is that having to review my own book's material is very helpful in seeing what things I've been doing wrong myself lately. And I'm really trying to refocus on my own efforts as a lead developer and trying to improve my day-to-day work based on my own work. So that's very, very meta, actually, that that's actually happening in this way. But also it means that I have a lot to teach, including myself. And I really look forward to people joining me. So if you want to learn more about becoming or being a good lead software developer, then have a look at my book and my workshop. And in my workshop, I am going to try to give my participants actionable pieces of content and advice that they can execute on immediately after the workshop, so that within a couple months' time, they should have real effects of having participated in my workshop. So it's a big goal, but I think it's worthwhile for you to check out my content and my workshop if you're into these kinds of things and if you want to grow as a software developer. On that note, there's also a very interesting book that I wanted to mention. It's a book that I've been reading myself. It's called Staff Engineer, Leadership Beyond the Management Track by Will Larson. And what's very interesting about this book that it's actually making a case for having two development tracks for software developers. On the one hand, there's the classical thing that you usually end up with. So you start your career, you start developing software, and then at some point you hit a ceiling, and then the only way out is to go into a sort of a leadership role, in the sense that you have to become some kind of project manager or engineering manager or even a chief technology officer of a company. There's a long road to actually grow into this position. And in his book, Will Larson actually advocates that there should be another ladder that you could climb as a software developer. And this is a technical ladder. And this is a role that takes you from junior to medium to senior. And then at some point, you will end up as a staff or principal engineer. Now, we've all seen these job titles, and it's even for me, it sounds big and scary. But I do notice that with his book, it's very interesting to see that there are maybe even options out there, and that you should look beyond the confines of the job title and the job role that you are currently in, and not even just for growing vertically in an organization, but also to just understand that your current role, your current position as a software developer, it's not what defines your career. And if you want to change it, then right now world circumstances are in such a way that you can quite easily make a career move or make a career switch, because it's really a candidate-driven market right now. So you as a job candidate can pretty much, based on your skills, dictate what companies and employers should offer you as a software developer. So that's a very opportune moment that we have right now in the world. So I highly recommend anybody who's in the field of software development to be aware of this and to not take advantage of it, but to have an impact on yourself and your surroundings that is mutually beneficial. So something to think about beyond iOS software development. Now, on another note, the mechanical keyboard dark hole I tripped into has deepened itself even further. So there's now a switch kit on its way with, I think they're called Kale Speed Bronze switches. I've been testing a lot of different keyboard switches lately, and it seems that I'm going into the domain of speed clicky switches. So those are keys with a very short travel before they actuate. And what I really like about these Kale switches is that they have a sort of a double clicky effect. So once you press the button, there's a mechanical click. And if you release the button, there's a mechanical click as well. So definitely highly recommended to only use these in a home environment, in the attic, away from as many people as possible, because these things, they make a lot of noise. But I really like the feel and the sound when I'm typing on them, I hope, because right now I'm using Kale Box Wide switches, which I really dig, but I really like some less travel in my switches if possible. So enough on the keyboard. Schools are about to start again in the Netherlands, so I expect to share little bits of information on how things are going with my daughter, because before the summer vacation I was already sharing some information on her, but there's a lot of things that are going to change in her small life, especially the peer group that she's going to be a part of in a few weeks' time, and I really look forward to seeing how she will be in this environment, and I really hope that it's something that matches up with what she needs and what allows her to really be more herself in any circumstance that she is in as a little girl that's only 6 years old. So fingers crossed that things work out the way that we hope, my wife and I, for our daughter. And yeah, let's just get started with the articles of this week. The first article is by Federico Zanatello on his 5-star blog. It's called Handling Links with SwiftUI's OpenURL. So it's an article about using OpenURL in SwiftUI, but there's been a number of upgrades to attribute strings and the text view and how OpenURL function works. In his article, Federico gives a nice overview of what you can do with a link and how you can use a text and how you can actually call OpenURL in a way that it's very nicely formatted on screen as a button. Style it as well with various font and text attributes. It's very simple if you know SwiftUI and how you influence text display. But just seeing it in action in this article with lots of screenshots and sample code is really nice to remember you about what OpenURL is about. There's also a section with what's new in the latest Xcode 13 beta. So that means that this article is fully up to date with the current state of things regarding the OpenURL function. Also, he goes into how the URLs that you open through this API are handled and what things you can actually derive from these URLs once you're handling them. Because there's actually a lot of things that are available to you and really dig into, and you can do nice things based on this. And yeah, you should really look at Federico's article to get a good grasp and overview of this nice little API in iOS. Next up is Gio with Mocha Coding. He has an article on how to write unit tests for SwiftUI apps. So it's a question that you hear quite often from software developers getting started with SwiftUI. How do you write unit tests for SwiftUI apps? With its declarative approach to UI development and its opaque types, SwiftUI doesn't lend itself to writing unit tests. Are UI and snapshot tests the only option that you have, or should you generate multiple previews for every behavior and permutation of your views? The answer is actually simpler and doesn't require that much or any extra tooling, just good software design. So to test your SwiftUI applications, don't test SwiftUI code. And in his article, Gio actually shows you how to write unit tests for the actual logic behind a SwiftUI app by decoupling layout declaration from content generation. And yeah, it's a very solid overview of how you can separate your UI from the actual logic that is within your app And I think it's a good overview of an approach that you can take to actually add unit testing to a SwiftUI code base. Now, just to remind you on UI testing and what you can do with that, there's an article by Benoit Pasqueur that he has released this week as well, or at least in the last week. It's called Unit Testing UI View Actions and Gestures in Swift. So it's an article on how you can use UI testing on a UIKit-based view hierarchy to actually have interactions with your user interface and to use mocking to make sure that you can actually display all the different variations of your user interface. So very worthwhile article to remind yourself on what you should be doing with UI testing in UIKit-based applications, and also a good starting point if you want to get into the previous article that I mentioned by Gio. The next article that I wanted to mention is by Sarun. You can find it at sarunw.com. How to show multiple alerts on the same view in SwiftUI. SwiftUI can't have multiple alert modifiers on the same view, the same branch in the view hierarchy to be exact. The only latest outermost alert will work if you got multiple alert modifiers in the same branch in the view hierarchy. So in his article, Sarun details how you can have multiple alerts on the same view regardless. So according to Sarun, this is actually a bug in iOS 13 and 14 that's now fixed in iOS 15. I haven't dealt with this personally myself, but I do find this article interesting in that he seems to find ways to use SwiftUI in a way that, might seem non-obvious, but once you're really developing some software with it, that it's actually something that you will run into. So it's a good solution for a problem that you might get if you're having to display alerts on your user interface. And I think it's a good one to be aware of, that this is actually a big difference between iOS 14 and 15. And so just to be aware of changes coming into iOS 15, I think this is an article that is worthwhile to read. And if you're especially having some issues with alerts, then make sure to check this out, because maybe this is something that applies to your situation. The next article is by Antoine van der Lee. He has a nice write-up again on how you can use drawing properties to catch failures in Swift. So this is a big change that's coming in Swift 5.5, and it's basically that you can now throw from getter functions within a var. Just have a look at the first code sample in this article and you know exactly what I'm talking about. What's interesting here is that Antoine provides a great overview with all the source material from the original Swift Evolution proposal, which is SE 310, and it's a big part actually of the async await concurrency changes that allow async properties to throw errors. So it's one of these essential features in Swift 5.5 that are required to actually be able to use async await within this new version of Swift. In this article, Antoine details how you can define your own throwing properties in Swift, and how you can define a throwing custom subscript if you'd like, and how you can define a throwing getter for stored properties. So he has some thoughts and also on whether or not you should decide between a throwing property or a throwing method. And it's a well worth and balanced article on this new great feature in Swift 5.5. One of many new features in Swift 5.5, I should say. And now it's time for Donny's Monday morning tweet. Dunstef is hoping Donny had a great weekend. He released a new tutorial explaining his thought process on how he would architect an app with async await and MVVM in SwiftUI. Philip Nemecek shared an idea on Twitter last week, and now he's working on Indie App Store and he's really excited about it. Daniel is working on the App Telemetry app some more, and there's a lot of work that goes into actually making a company. Mohammed just released a small app this week to stay up to date of the latest updates of Apple systems called iBeta. And Daniel is speaking at Cocohead SNL on Wednesday. He's very excited, but he's also feeling a bit intimidated. And Trent is rebuilding his native iOS app with React Native. As an iOS developer, the iOS-only release has been a dream to support, but it's time to expand. Roven is building Pinboard, a to-do Kanban app using SwiftUI for macOS and eventually iOS. He's building out in the open, so he's tweeting out his progress in the thread. Azam is preparing for the TriSwift talk on Async Await. Luke took some time over the last 2 weeks to travel back to the old days of iOS 6 as he approached recreating the weather app in UIKit and laying out the UI in VFL. James is thinking about the next Apple event. Will it be September 7th or September 14th? With pre-orders on the 10th or the 17th and a launch on the 24th. He's thinking about blocking all those dates on his calendar. And Max is really happy he got a message that he has passed his trial period. And Marius has worked on the marketing materials and press kit for an app, ActiveMe, and made it available for pre-order. Morten is relaxing after a hectic week hacking together a temporary site for Maxim SDK for a national Danish radio show podcast, and he appeared on the show yesterday. The site is in Danish, but you can navigate the shells and see the photos. And that's it for this week. I really hope you enjoyed my podcast episode this time around. Do have a look at the show notes and the links that are in there. If you want to help support my podcast, please consider becoming a pod.fan. You can find it at pod.fan/appforce1 and you'll get early access to my interviews. I'm just short a few fans of being able to afford a transcription of my podcast so that I can reshare the content in a readable format, which would really help with me growing my podcast. Talk to you again next week. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. appforce1.net/lead developer, all one word.